Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Carlos Semeda from the Office of State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Support from the Partnership Support Branch. And one of our main tasks is to provide the oversight and management of the of a large-scale cooperative agreement. Another one is to manage and provide oversight for some ACA funds that have come in through the National Public Health Improvement Initiative. And this initiative is supported through the Prevention Public Health Fund of the Affordable Care Act. This is a five-year initiative that provides U.S. state, tribal, local, and territorial health departments with the resources to adapt, institutionalize cross-cutting performance management and quality improvement methods and approaches to improve accountability, efficiency, and effectiveness of public health programs and services. Specifically, the National Public Health Improvement Initiative will strengthen our health departments by providing staff, training, tools, and technical capacity building assistance dedicated to establishing performance management and evidence-based practices that drive improved service delivery and better health outcomes. As these health departments catalyze improvement throughout the public health system and strong performance management practices and standards are identified and widely adopted, public health departments will be able to share information, assets, programs, and services across organizations and jurisdictions, resulting not only in a more efficient and effective system, but one that is agile, resilient, and well-positioned to protect and serve the people. In 2010, CDC released $42.5 million to 76 grantees in the National Public Health Improvement Initiative. In 2011, we released $33 million to these 74 grantees. A supplemental award of $2.9 and $2.3 million was awarded to provide capacity building assistance to the 76 grantees that are in the National Public Health Improvement Initiative. Five national public health organizations competed and won this award. And those were the Association of State and Tribal Health Officials, ASTO, APHA, the National Association of County and City Health Officials, the National Network of Public Health Institutes, and the Public Health Foundation. They were provided these funds to do capacity building assistance along two lanes of work. One of those was to identify, synthesize, aggregate the products and tools related to performance management, policy, cross-jurisdictional cooperation, leadership development, public health system redevelopment, and readiness to apply for accreditation. The second lane of work was to provide technical consultation, information, and training on the adaptation and adoption of best or promising practices. We believe that providing capacity building assistance by these five public health partners is key to achieving our goal to accelerate public health system redesign for effectiveness and improved efficiencies. So this presentation today will highlight some of the early findings from our five partners.
Thank you so much, Carlos. And so without further ado, we're going to start with Magda Peck. Magda serves as the Associate Dean for Community Engagement and Community Health Practice at the College of Public Health at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. She's Professor of Public Health and Pediatrics and holds a concurrent appointment as Professor of Pediatrics at Creighton University Medical Center. And Magda, I'll let you take it away. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. All right, it's that postprandial moment. I'm here with great honor on behalf of the great state of Nebraska, and I want to extend my gratitude to my partners who are building their readiness to and their appetite for using policy and law as a powerful tool for the public's health. And I also want to extend my gratitude to the American Public Health Association, that is the technical advisor that has been helping us get off the ground. If you can get off the ground and launch in the center of the country, in Nebraska, to make this happen in one of the most proudly conservative and incremental change states that resists large-scale initiative, We can do this anywhere. So I'm here to tell you the beginning story, the first chapter, if you will, of Nebraska's Health Policy Academy. We're hoping that over time we can develop a model for the nation, that the first initials are the postal code for every state and every territory in this nation, in an extension into the sovereign nations of our tribal communities overall. I have nothing to disclose. So I don't need to convince you of the power of policy, but it is helpful when the IOM says that it's important. And so we are inspired by the discovery of the obvious, that public policy interventions have proven to be more effective and more efficient and offer greater value than individual-based interventions in a number of circumstances. And so the question is, what do we do with that reality, that it's not just what individual responsible behavior will do, but what the power of policy can help us make the easy choice, the right choice overall. So welcome to Nebraska, 77,000 square miles, in which it takes over 10 hours to drive at the speed limit from one end to the other. And we come to you with an ambitious goal to increase the capacity of our state and local public health staff and their community partners to use policy and law as this powerful tool. And this is part of our strategic workforce development in our state. This is not a standalone. This is part of a portfolio of purposeful, intentional change, which has brought a new College of Public Health, accredited just last week by CEF, a Public Health Leadership Institute. It is home for CityMatch, which many of you know is the national organization dedicated to improving the health and well-being of women, children, and families that I had the privilege of founding and leading for 15 years. This is an incremental confluence here in the center of the nation, trying to give something back to the rest of the nation. I want to quickly, given the time here, just take you through our startup. Funding did not come in until after January, so we're going to take the liberty of having a nine-month gestation as opposed to a full year. We have been working on building the infrastructure to bring this up, to develop the model and its methods, and to align it with competency-based curriculum, particularly working with the Council of Languages and thanks to the Public Health Foundation for giving it that tool to work with. We are now in the process, as you will hear, of recruiting our initial teams. And team-based work in Nebraska is not the usual way of learning. It is very much a frontier, rugged, individualistic approach to people's learning. So shifting to the notion of team is no small matter. And then, of course, we'll tell you about the launch of our teams that we'll be learning in January overall. We are building this on several foundations from the literature, from practice, including the experience we have with action learning, including the work we do right now with a very strong foundation of bridging academe and practice and earning our trust and welcome in the practice and policy community as opposed to being driven from the academic community. And we are grounded and use the model of collaborative leadership as the essential fiber of working together in team, borrowing from and adapting the turning point learning, and as well as the work of Larson and others in the literature that's been proven. Let me tell you our conceptual framework briefly, because we want to make sure that what we're doing is grounded not only in evidence and science, but a way that we can tell the story. At the end of the day, if policy doesn't change, we will have failed. And so in 5 years, we are committed to making sure that we have made significant strategic strides in policy and law in a fairly, as I said, ripe state for learning new ways of doing business. How will we do that? Well, we have the opportunity of building the evidence and the science and the data that will help us inform policy, bringing together the partnerships and collaboration and, frankly, the political will. And we bring a third part together, which is how do we actually develop, implement, and evaluate policy. Without this order, we do not think we can be successful in the Health Policy Academy. It's connecting all three, as adapted from a model from Julie Richmond and Mo Kotelchek a long time ago, that when you bring together your knowledge base, your social strategy, and your political will, only then will policy succeed. And there's evidence of that from Dr. Richmond, who is an emeritus person, may he rest in peace, in this public health community whose memory I invoke, because there would not be Head Start without them. There would not be smoke-free airlines without them. There would not be healthy places for us to live without him and the work that he and Milt have done together. CityMatch adopted this model in all of the work we've done over the last 22 years, and we're adapting this model forward. And therefore, our curriculum will combine strategically systems thinking, provocative collaborative leadership that works, and innovation overall. And we will do so in our model by combining team-based collaboration and the principles from the business literature of action learning. So we've constructed this from the result out as opposed to showing you some logic model, because it has to make sense to the folks that we're inviting to be part of the leadership learning. And if they don't get it in the field of how we're going about our business, we will not be successful in their being able to translate what they know into what they're going to do differently. Three things about what will make it work here in Nebraska. The first is it has to start, as John Cotter would tell us from the business literature, with a sense of urgency. If you don't have an issue, if you don't have something that needs, wants to change, or must change, then the rest is academic, and therefore we will have failed. But combine the issue-driven with a place-based strategy. So whether that's a local high school, or whether that has to do with agricultural policy and runoff into the groundwater, it has to be place-based or it will not take root. And therefore, it cannot be done alone. And the third part, our beat of our waltz, is the collaborative learning that comes from issue-driven, place-based work. We have framed this as learning. And that's why we're able to get it done in Nebraska. If we frame it as advocacy, we will fail, because the pushback and the nervousness of our elected officials is overwhelming, and that's a part of a lesson learned that we will talk to you a little bit about. We have, just briefly up here, and I don't have time to go into it given the time, but I want to invite you to come back and have a conversation with us and help us shape this in a way that will be relevant to you in each of your states and communities, territorials, and tribal nations, to what can work. But using proven approaches to adult learning and collaborative action learning, we know that this is about doing and learning at the same time so that it sticks. We also know that we have a model that we can draw on from the evidence base about how many people per team really learn well in a core team, how to surround them with an extended team of folks who can get engaged but not have to make it to every meeting. We've scaled back with some more limited funding from CDC, and that's been a wonderful opportunity to really stay focused. So we expect to have about 5 to 7 teams per cohort, 5 to 7 people per team, 4 cohorts over the 5 years, with time built in for reflection and evaluation. Our initial teams to look in terms of, we'll tell you next year about what happened next, 3 anchor local health department teams championed by their health commissioners, front and center, ready to take the lead. And 2 issue teams, one looking at the translation of the Affordable Care Act's opportunities for breast cancer prevention. And then the other is the tribal communities, especially the Santee Sioux, coming back saying, how do we change the policy in our tribe so that sacred tobacco does not contain tobacco that is harmful and cancer-provoking? And sacred tobacco never included original tobacco. It was herbal, and that has shifted. How do you shift back to positive change? And that would be a tribal policy that is powerful. We'll match it on competencies, as I said, with the Council on Linkages and others. We will focus on 3 key domains in our curriculum and be competency-based. And we recognize that we have 3 different phases of the 9-month training that we'll do, about to kick off in period 1 in January with our 5 teams, perhaps more. Then we'll go move after that to a second phase of Get Set, where we'll do, after kicking them off and having some intensive work, learning virtually and including action learning coaches and a focus on preparing policy overall. Finally, in our 3rd, we hope over the summer, they will be focusing on advancing their specific policy initiative, and they'll come forth and the 2nd cohort will be layered on top of the 1st. 1 graduation is the kickoff of the other one during our go period. In my final moments, let me just tell you a little bit in our fast last couple of minutes about what have we learned so far, so you figured out what the it is in a very fast way. Unless we figure out the best of academe in practice, this is an old story, but it still hasn't been learned very well. And it really is about building on the strengths of both. And so it really has been at the behest of the practice community to come to us as academics and say, how can we bring out great learning and great doing for great results? Being nimble and resilient has been really important because we almost had to abandon the project because of the political pushback. Sometimes when people sign off on folks on grants, they don't exactly know what it is until you sit down with your leaders of the state and they said, we did what? And so relationships help to bridge that gasp and fear because it puts our elected officials in awkward positions. If a team were to come up with a policy recommendation that's adverse to what the governor wants, we don't want to put anyone in a compromised position. We can be smart about that overall. So expect policy to be charged. This is not some neutral thing. It is nerve-wracking. It is dangerous, and therefore it is great opportunity. So if you frame it as learning and not as frontal advocacy, we might be able to slip in the back check. And finally, we have such expertise right within our state, especially what I call post-positional leaders, former state senators, former leaders who are superintendents, people who are really sage and ready to tell their story, and they will be our faculty locally, and we will tap many folks from abroad in terms of exterior to the state who can balance that prophet-like notion of saying what we could say at home, but no one will believe them unless they live 1,000 miles away. It's the blended faculty and expertise that will allow the credibility of the learning to come together. A couple of more quickies, and then I'll open it up for a question or two. There needs to be readiness to do this work. You can't just recruit the teams and have them do this learning. So we have created a period zero, which is a 3-month preconception opportunity. And we've been using the opportunity for them to use a tool developed by me and others through CityMatch, which is called community tenting for readiness, to do significant change work, where we look at 5 dimensions and have them self-assess on a tool that not only is on our website at CityMatch, but just been published in the book Mastering Public Health. And if you let them see a little bit about how they can calibrate as a team their readiness on these 5 domains, well, they can then see what the gaps are. They might be able to demonstrate some patterns that are not terribly effective. People who are really ready to do it, but don't really know why, don't have any resources, and haven't a clear idea what result they want to get. They might be able to calibrate their readiness overall by looking at the opportunity that the perfect proposal doesn't get you anywhere if there's no one to do the work. And it might give you the opportunity for them to learn a little bit about what it needs, what we need to do to get long-term results. We will deliver to you, with this Affordable Care Act dollars, by 2015, at least 25 teams that will have covered almost 150 individuals in a state of 1.7 million. That's a lot of people. The tipping point we found is if we have 100 people who will take on a new practice, such as our Leadership Institute or Health Policy Academy, you can tip the practice of the entire state overall. And we will, in fact, have the ability to show demonstrably and measurably a mastery of how policy and law can be used as a tool. Finally, 10 or more viable, sustainable stickiness policies and laws that will begin to transform the health of every Nebraskan from coast to coast. Lots of people to acknowledge as I bring it up into questions from our design team, our core team, and from our staff. And with that, you can come back to me for more information. I'd love to hear your questions, and please follow up with me afterwards. One question. Who's got the burning question in the room? Can I pose a question for you? That quick is a East Coast Philly girl, I talk fast, not from Nebraska. Does it make sense to you what we're trying to do? If there's a part that doesn't make sense to you, because we've never given this presentation before, so tell us what we need to do that makes sense that we can sell people on this being a great investment of their time and a great investment of resources. Thank you so much.